you. Did you come with your sword tonight? We're not going to cut off my ears, so don't get excited. But we're going to look into the Word of God tonight and see what He has to tell us. Now, normally Brother Durham is down there on Wednesday nights, and he teaches you and has a little film and all this kind of stuff. But I like security. I've got a big pulpit, so you can see it shaking every once in a while. So that's what I like. I like this. I can spread out up here, and I could do that down there, but I just feel a little more comfortable, and it's just my security blanket. If Linus has to have a blanket, well, the Lord's his pulpit. Gives me a little added strength there. But we just praise the Lord for the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. And I just trust tonight that God will bless your heart as much as He did mine when He began to give me this Word. I tell you what, the enemy did not want me to do this tonight, like he doesn't want me to do a lot of other things, but nothing gives me any more joy than to give him the biggest, blackest eye and the worst thumped on feet that he ever had. I tell you, I got so sick Monday night till I thought I had to get better to die. And I don't know what all happened to me, but anyway, by about 8 o'clock last night, I really began to feel the touch of the Lord. And I was in my study, and I said, oh, if this comes out, brother, like it's coming in, we're going to have a powerful time. So you just get yourself ready, and let's look into the Word of God. And I want to talk to us tonight about perseverance and getting in there and just pressing in and doing our very best for the Lord. We want to go to Luke, the 5th chapter, and I will read the first 7 verses of this 5th chapter of Luke. And it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now I want us to look at this. When we come up on this scene, and the story begins to unfold, we find these disciples out there. They had rolled up their nets, and they had gone home. They said, there ain't no fish out there. They must have had a trip like Dolores has had many times. I can remember only twice in my life when I went fishing that I ever caught anything, and I don't bait my hook. I mean, I will not take one of them flopping things off either. And when I catch them, I take my pole and I just beat them off on the bank and I stick it back in there again. Now, when I was a kid, one day I slipped off down to the little tank and I began to catch fish. And I had a bunch out there on the bank and I went and told my dad, I said, Dad, I got some of them down there, but I'm not bringing them in. I'm afraid they'll bite me. Now, will you go get my fish? And I had good luck that time. And at least one other time, here not too many, 5 or 6 years ago, I went fishing, and I want you to know I could not believe it. I caught fish. What was it, honey? I don't know one from another. What was it, a bass? I don't know. It was a mighty big chunk. It wasn't a whale, but it was a fish. And I caught one, and Joel caught one, and Mama's was bigger than Joel's. And was I ever happy? Now, that's my fishing story. The rest of the times I have gone, I've caught absolutely nothing. And I just take my net, and I said, well, I'll just throw in the towel. If they're not biting, I don't have time to wait on them. I just don't have time to sit out there. But these guys had worked all night long. They had toiled, and they had toiled, and yet they had taken nothing. So, boys, let's just take up our nets, and let's just go home. Now, you know, that's we think, hey, man, that's just a fish story. But I want to see something else out of this. These guys were physically drained. If you fish like these guys fished, that was work. Now, I don't like to work. I guess that's why I don't like to go fishing. But anyway, that was work when you had to take those huge nets and you had to do them a certain way and you had to be out there and oh, man, they were physically drained. They were just discouraged. They had lost their hope. They were in despair, and they didn't have any confidence left. They said, well, Master, we'll all night, and we don't have anything. And you know, I got to thinking about this. So many times we're so ready to roll up our nets and tuck in and go home when we don't catch fish for the Lord. And when we have prayed, maybe we have prayed 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years for somebody, and yet we see no change. We just get out there and we wash our nets and we say, Lord, I'm going to give up on them. I'm going to quit praying for them. They are absolutely hopeless. Lord, you couldn't save them. I mean, it's just the end. Have you ever given up on someone? I heard a story just today about this very thing from a family that had several ministers in it. And this one son who had in his early days had been a strong Christian, but he went away from God in those later teen years. And he went into service and went into Vietnam. And consequently, he came back. He was in terrible shape, not only physically, but mentally and every way, and away from God, into drugs, into alcohol, into everything. The family had just given up on him, and they had called Dave Reaver. They had called everybody that they could think of to talk to the man. But one day, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and drew that boy back in, totally changed his life and turned him around. And this brother said, I have a brother. For the first time in years and years and years, I can sit down. A man that is totally free in his mind, totally free in every area of his life, totally delivered by the power of God because we persisted in prayer for him. So friends, if you've got somebody tonight that's been on your heart and you've prayed for them for a long time, please don't give up. You may be the only one that's still hanging on, and if you roll up your net and you go in home to let it dry, you will lose that catch that the Lord wants you to catch. You will lose that individual, and you will not. You'll be their only lifeline that's hanging on for them. It's worth it to go on and persevere in the things of the Lord. And don't get weary and don't be discouraged. Don't quit and give up. But the disciples said, man, said, we've just done this. They had been out there and they'd worked all night. And he told them, he said, now come on. He'd been out there preaching and there was a lot of people standing around to hear what he wanted them to say. And so he told them, he says, boys, come on out and just launch on out into the deep and let down your nets for the drop. They was about to catch a big one, weren't they? And Simon says, but sir, we have taught all the night. But then he said, well, nevertheless, we will do it at thy word. And I'll tell you what, they did. They got so many that they had to beckon unto another ship. One of the writers, I think, even counts the fish as being 153. This said that there must have been some mighty big fish because their boats became so heavy, they almost sank. But you know, as I thought about that, I thought, how many today are giving up in their experience with God? We give up on individuals. We give up on our experience just when God is getting ready to move. We may be standing right on the brink of our miracle, and yet we want to tuck our nets in and just put them across our shoulders and run back home. And what are you going to run through when you get back there? You'll have nothing but problems and difficulties multiplied, one upon one and many upon many. If you do that, just don't give up, but persevere. And we find that in Hebrews 10, verses 35 to 39 says, and cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall that come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, he is telling us to persevere regardless of what the situation looks like. Sometimes we say, well, Lord, I'm just tired of holding on. Where is your confidence tonight? Cast not away your confidence, but hold firmly to it and said, I know, regardless of how it looks, sees, smells, feels, anything else, I will not cast away my confidence, but I will persevere in my experience with God, and I will hold on till I see the answer come. That's where it's at, friends. Cast not away your confidence. God is faithful. You cannot depend on friends, family, or anything down here, because we realize that in man, as good as he is, there's those qualities he cannot be with you 24 hours of the day. And he's not going to be right there all the time, but our Heavenly Father is with us continually. That's where our confidence ought to be. He says for us to trust not in the arm of flesh, trust not in our armies, and all of this. We've got a lot of people today trusting in things instead of being Jesus Christ. And he says for us not to cast away our confidence. And if anybody could have took their net and just tucked tail and ran, I don't know of anybody that could have done it any better than old Paul could. You, 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, verses 8 and 9, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, Paul says to persevere in the sight of seeming defeat. All of these things would tend to bring a person to defeat, would they not? But he said, in all these things, he said, no. He said, I'm troubled on every side, yet I'm not going to be distressed. And he says, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but not forsaken, and cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, and if you went through what Paul did, and you could still say that, brother, I tell you, he did not cast away his confidence. He knew where his help was coming from. And I'm here to tell you that the devil will throw you up every kind of a smokescreen to make it look like you're just getting nowhere with God. And he will make you go into despair. He will attack you physically, mentally, financially, in every way. But if you will not cast away your confidence, but you will persevere with faith in God, it doesn't matter what happens. We're the victor every time. You know, I don't know why the devil doesn't just give up anyway. He's not going to be the winner, and he ought to know that. You know, he thinks he will afflict the child of God with an affliction so they won't do the will of God, or he'll just that and say, well, look, God, I'm going to kill him and die, and he doesn't have the power to take that life out of us. But he will try. And you know what? Even if we did die, in the next second of time, quicker than I could do that, we'd be in the presence of God. And yet the devil cannot recognize that. He tries everything he can to steal your face away, and he tries to make you cast your face away. But God says, persevere, stay in there, keep the net out, and you're going to catch up, you're going to win, and God be blessed. We will enter into glory when we leave this life. Praise God. So Paul said, no matter what, just persevere in there anyway. And then over in 2 Thessalonians, we're reminded of the scripture that tells us this. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. That's in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 13, where we find those words. How often have we become weary in well-doing? Has that ever happened to you? Perhaps you thought, well, God, why do I have to teach this Sunday school class? Those kids never hear a thing I say. And God, they're the wiggly, squirmy little juniors. And God, I just know they don't hear a thing I'm saying. Or God, you know those little kids in the nursery don't know what I'm up there telling them. But you just listen at them at play sometimes if you don't think they know what you were saying. You can hear them in there. They can almost preach your sermon verbatim. They can tell you what that Sunday school class was all about. Those kids heard it, even if they were squirming like worms. It was going in. They was hearing the word, because God's word will not return void. And let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. These disciples had just tucked tail and they had gone home, and he said, friends, you're just about to catch a draught of fishes, old master. You don't know what you're talking about. And I know none of us have ever told God he didn't know what he was talking about. Wow. The way you're laughing, I know every one of us have. So I'm not fooled, and neither are you, and you didn't fool me, and I didn't fool you, because we try to tell God how to do it, when to do it, and exactly what time of the day, all of this. But thank God he does it in his own way, in his own time, for our own good. Praise God. He'll do it every time. So if we'll just not be weary in well-doing, but just keep in there. Just keep in there. And now let's go over to 2 Timothy. I tell you what, that guy, I tell you, this Paul, he had lots of things to tell us that just so strengthen us. And 2 Timothy 3, let's look at verse 13 through 17, and it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that the men of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." In other words, he begins to warn Timothy, man, there's going to be men out there that are going to try to take your faith away. They're going to try to deceive you. In other words, Timothy, they're in the face of spiritual decay and in the face of spiritual deterioration. I am still faithful. I will still be faithful. Remember, he said, the holy word and the scriptures that thou hast been taught, even from a youth, for they are profitable unto you. Oh, sometimes I like to sit back and I like to reflect over some of the things in my past, because it helps me to know that my God was faithful then and he will be faithful today, because he proved himself so many times by answered prayer. So Paul was trying to instruct Timothy that, yes, these things would come, but don't cast away your faith, don't cast away your confidence, but hang on to the word of God. Now, you cannot believe every book you read. There are a lot of people that just base everything they do on some man-made idea, and they try to find a way and a pattern to make those books fit God's word and bless your soul. They just do not fit. If it's none say it in the word, there is no way you can make it fit. The best book you can study is God's word, because it will be profitable in every area of your life. And it'll stick by you when the others have gone out the window and poofed away. But God's word stands forever. And then we know the wise man Solomon had so much to tell us, and it's a shame he did not live all that he told us. But in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verses 11 and 12, and it says, "And I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth unto them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them." And he's reminding the wise man said here that the race is not to the swift. And you know, this reminds me of the story that we learned in grade school of the hare and the tortoise. And I just like to call them the rabbit and the turtle. That's a little bit easier to say. And I'm a simple lady, so a rabbit and a turtle is easier to say than a hare and a tortoise. So anyway, we find them out there, and there was going to be this race. And the old rabbit just began to run, and I can just see him. And in my imagination, and I had one when I was a kid, and I still got one, I can just see the old rabbit out there, and he was just, you know, just merely strutting along, and he got a little ways ahead, and he thought, "Oh man, there is no way this little dumb turtle can outrun me. There is just no way." And he just ran on, and he found himself a shade tree, Bless your soul, he sat down under that shade tree and began to snooze. And when he woke up, the turtle had crossed the finish line. You see, it wasn't to the one that started so swiftly in the beginning, but the one that finished. The one that didn't cast away his confidence. And you know what happens there sometimes? When we'll start out swiftly for the Lord, we begin to rely. When things are going good, we say, hey, God, I don't need you today. Man, you gave me wisdom. You gave me knowledge. You gave me strength. Hey, God, I don't need you today. You just go on and take your journey. And God, I can do this all by myself. Until we find out that we're sitting out there in the dark and we're lost and we're lonely and we have no help and we are falling away in the race. Oh, we have to wake up and shake ourselves and realize that nothing of we can do nothing of ourselves, but he who is in us is the one that furnishes what we need to run this race with patience and not just sit down and think that cannot never happen. That Paul even began to talk to the Galatians in Galatians 5 and 7, and he said, you did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? There were many today have started out swiftly like the rabbit, and they have ran. And then when it come a hard time, or perhaps they begin to feel secure in what they were doing, they begin to lax up. They begin to come away from their times in their prayer closet, come away from their time of praise and worshiping God in that inner circle, came away from those things and went to their books and all of this and said, I'll get wisdom here. I don't need God. And consequently, they have fallen away. And where are they? They became chastened in their experience. And he asked the Galatians, he said, you did run well, but what did hinder you? There's going to be a lot of hindrances out there in the way. God knows that. But he gave you the answer and he gave you the roadmap to know how to be the overcomer. And God help us, we can do not do it in ourselves. And Zechariah says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by the Holy Spirit. God's empowered that any of us are able to run this race. We find him once again in Galatians 6 and 9, Paul in the Galatians, and he said, and let us not weary in well season, we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap. There is a reaping time coming. And you know, as I think about the race that we're in today, you can think of the variables to run in an Olympic race or any other type of race. You see them in their little light shirts and their little trunks. And they're not all weighted down with a bunch of junk, because that impedes their... And yet today we see people, God, that are like Hebrews tells us in Hebrews the 12th chapter in the first verse, he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets you. Just run this race with patience. In other words, get rid of the baggage that you have picked up along the way. Get rid of those things that are impeding your progress in God. If it's the TV, if it's a newspaper, if it's the magazines, if it's the worldly books or something else, something is slowing you in your progress and your spiritual life, you best give them up. It's best to give them up than it would be to miss heaven. He said for us to lay aside anything that would weigh us down, that we might run this race, that we might be able to. Nothing is worth our missing heaven for. And in Job, the 17th chapter, we find that our reliance must be totally upon God. I like the Old Testament with the New Testament, because I tell you what was back there for them was our example, and it's just as good for us today. We find in that 9th, as the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. You want to rely on God for your strength, not in anything that man can do, because man cannot give that to you. It only comes from God. And everything we have to do, that God gives us to do, any job that he gives us to do, we have to rely upon him and do it with a heart of love. If we do not operate and do what we do out of love, it is just as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. On John the 15th chapter in the 9th verse, they were admonished in here. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And what he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We have to remain in love as we carry on his work, reaching to all mankind about us. They will know that you love them by the love that you show to them. People can tell when you say you love them. They know it when it's genuine and when it's not, when it's just lip. But show them that you're a Christian by the way that you live and the things that you do. Then in 1 Peter, it's another good one. We just can't get around that. Brother Nolan read us some out of Peter tonight. 1 Peter 1 and 13 tells us this. It says, "And wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, we need to be, as David was, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Girding up and undergirding up, fortifying ourselves with the Word of God and prayer and with His Holy Spirit. Revelation, "Behold, I come quickly. The reward is with me." And I'd like to ask us tonight, what are we doing in the light of the soon coming of Christ? We've heard it preached for years, and many say, "Well, and the world today says, I have heard it so long, I don't believe it anymore." But the Word tells me that in an hour when we think not, the Son of Man cometh. This thing is going to wind to a close one day, and I'm certain that it's going to be sooner than what we thought. Have we folded our nets, or are we persevering? Did we take our nets back home and leave them and forsake God and flee? Or are we still out there toiling to catch the fish for the Lord? We must shake off the weights and the heaviness that we've let gather upon us on the way. Shake those things off. There's an old chorus that says, "Shake off those heavy bands and lift high those holy hands." Anything that's impeding our progress, we need to cast it aside, because it will keep us out of heaven. We need to cast our harvest. God wants us to glean. And God give us all a renewed vision and a renewed grace that we can only find in prayer and waiting upon Him, and walking in complete obedience to Him. And you know what? My Word tells me that everybody's not going to like it if you're doing those things. They didn't like everything the disciples and the apostles did. Over in the 13th chapter of Acts, verse 44 to 52, has some wonderful stuff to tell us. We want you to turn over there to the 13th chapter, verses 44 to 52. "And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast." Glory to God, wouldn't you like to have been there? "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Now you tell me you can't have victory in the spite of everything that looks like it's going wrong? Paul and Barnabas did, and how could they? Because they were full of joy and the Holy Ghost. They were not dependent on anything that the Jews or the Gentiles or anybody, the chief rulers, the women and the guys and all of that were against them. That mattered not to them. They came with a message. They delivered their message, and they could go home and be scot-free and just be as happy as when they came to town, because they were not serving man anyway. They were on a mission for God, and it's up to us to deliver the message, and then God gives the increase. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad we're not responsible for the harvest. God will send it in if we won't take up our net too soon. If we'll leave them out there, and if we'll just launch out a little deeper, he said, you got to go out into the deep. And when we fish, and when we have done all, and even if you come home at night and you haven't caught a thing, you can still be filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. And you said, but bless the Lord, they slammed the door in my face. Well, glory to God, at least they had a chance to do something. Man, even if they can't get past your word. Remember that. If you left a witness with them, it will haunt them, because God's word is going to stay in their mind. It may take years to bring it to pass, but you're not responsible for the harvest. You're just responsible for scattering the seed. And others will come along and water it. And pretty soon, it's not Paul, it's not Apollos, it's none of these, but it's God that gives the increase. So there will be times when you may just have to shake off your feet, and it looks like, hey, God, nobody cares what I'm doing. Have you ever felt that way? And you thought, oh, Lord, I feel just like those fishermen did. Man, I am so disappointed. I am so in despair, and I am so low. I remember one time our brother Stacy said he got to the point in his life he was so low that he felt like a snake. And that snake could have crawled under his Stetson hat and not even touched it, you know. That's how low he felt. And I thought, you know, sometimes you may feel like that, but you can still have the joy of the Lord. The devil would like for you to look and say, hey, you didn't get a harvest today. Why, you talked to that person, they didn't accept what you said. How do you know that in the quietness of that hour, and you may never know, I'm glad that God doesn't leave us to keep up the records. God keeps the records. If we kept the records, our heads might begin to swell until they pop, because we would take the glory for it. But aren't you glad that he gets all the glory for every soul that's born into the kingdom, because they cannot come to him unless the Spirit of God draws them. But he uses us as instruments to reach out and to fish in the deep waters, in the shallow waters, and beside all waters to sow his seed. So God give us that as we wait in his presence, and be filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. And you know what? We will come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. You and God are a majority today. It only takes just you two. You and God. And are we ready tonight? Have we been encouraged? Are we ready just to pick up our nets and run in home? Are we ready to just launch out into the deep and fish for the souls of man? I trust that every one of us will see where God wants every one of us, doing our job for the glory of God, not for man's enjoyment, but for the glory of God. And you don't have to be weary in well-doing, but trust in God, and he's going to give you the harvest. We still have a few minutes tonight, and I'd like for us to close the service tonight around these altars. If my watch is right, we have 5 minutes after 8, and that's about 10 minutes before regular dismissal time. This is Wednesday night. We used to call it Wednesday night prayer meeting, and we call it Bible study, and we call it everything, but it ought to be prayer meeting time too. We're just going to invite you to come in around these altars tonight and close out this great service with a prayer that God would renew your vision and help you to just shake your net out and begin to cast it out and persevere after that soul that God lays on your heart. May the Lord bless you to come in to pray tonight. Praise God. Praise God.